From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. You know what time it is, Silicon Tally time. Today, my guest is a known internet person and the producer of ESPN's 30 for 30 podcasts, Rose Eveleth. Rose, you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am ready.
55 billion messages.
The number of messages on Instagram's messaging service?
Oh, so close. You're so close. It's the number of WhatsApp messages sent per day. Yet another company from Facebook, as they say. rapid growth of WhatsApp, apparently, in the past few years. Facebook had its earnings numbers out this week. That is crazy. 55 billion messages per day. All right, what do you got for me?
70%.
Can you give me like a 70% of what?
Of Americans.
I don't know what this number is, but I feel like it's going to make me sad.
I don't know. I find some solace in this number. 70% of Americans think that the government is spying on them, which is from a new Pew study. And that seems sad, but I think actually in some ways you could argue that that's good because they're aware now of the fact that the government is probably spying on them.
Yeah, the first step is admitting you have a problem, I guess,
or assuming
that the government is doing is
right. The first step is not trusting the government at all, and then we can move on to the next step.
$69.
I think I'm contractually obligated as an internet person to first say nice.
So this is Twitter's peak stock price back in 2014, and it's news this week because on Thursday, Twitter reported its second quarter earnings, which were not good because advertisers have been pulling out. You're a Twitter person. How do you feel about this?
Part of me is like, well, maybe you should address the harassment problem. Maybe I'd be more upset for you.
Yes. I mean, I don't mean to laugh at that because it's incredibly serious, but I think it's a very good point. Hit me.
$2.5 billion.
$2.5 billion is the amount of money Facebook found in a dumpster out behind its offices this week.
That was mine, actually. They should return it to me. You can just mail it. It's fine. No, $2.5 billion is the market value of iRobot, which is the company that makes Roombas. People were a little worried because the company is selling sort of amassed maps of people's homes to kind of better the data that they use for these kinds of robots.
Here's a question. Do you have one?
No, I don't.
I see. I don't either. I would be afraid that it would like sell data on how dirty my floor was. Man, this guy's got a real tortilla chip problem.
Too many Cheetos, my dude. Too many Cheetos.
Rose Eveleth, she's producer of ESPN's 30 for 30 podcasts. Rose, thanks for playing Tally with me.
Thanks for having me.
This week, we got wind of a $2 billion investment in a ride-hailing company called Grab. The money comes from Japanese telecom giant SoftBank and Didi Chuxing, the massive Chinese ride-hailing company. Bad news for Uber in China and Southeast Asia. The sharing economy, as it's often called, is blowing up in China right now. Arun Sundararajan is our friend from NYU Stern School of Business and the author of The Sharing Economy, The End of Employment and the Rise of Crowd-Based Capitalism. Arun, thanks for coming by.
Ben, always a pleasure to be here.
So we're aware of the broad issues of car and ride sharing in China, at least from the perspective of Uber and other tech companies from the U.S. trying to get a foothold there, but having some trouble. Chinese company Didi is, after all, Uber's main competitor and also the world's largest ride sharing platform right now, 20 million rides a day. Arun, what are the other sharing economy things that are happening in China right now?
It's amazing how much the country has embraced the sharing economy. There is a very successful peer-to-peer car rental platform that just rebranded themselves as Start. Bike sharing has gotten really popular in Chinese cities, and they have these smart locks that allow you to leave the bike anywhere after you take your ride, and then there are these little sort of trucks that are carting them from place to place. There's even sharing of mobile phone charging devices that do nothing more than offer people battery packs to charge their phones for rent. So it's a fascinating landscape.
A huge part of China's population has been moving into urban areas, as we understand, coming into the middle class and acquiring more wealth. How is that trend impacting the sharing economy in the country?
Well, China has a much newer middle class than, say, the United States or Western Europe or Japan. And I think that that's causing an accelerated rate at which the sharing economy is being adopted. So they're much more likely to say, well, I'm going to spend my transportation money on Didi rather than buying a car. It's less of a behavior shift. And so I think that's part of what's spurring the adoption.
The Chinese government is making the sharing economy part of its five-year plan. Okay, is that going to lead to certain kinds of new state-sponsored business in the country?
That actually remains to be seen. There's tacit government support for the model, which clears many of the regulatory hurdles. The ideological concept of the sharing economy has this mix of socialism and capitalism that will be embodied in China's sharing economy may end up being decidedly different from the model that wins in the United States.
Arun Sundararajan, NYU Stern School of Business. Arun, thank you very much.
Ben, always a pleasure to be here.
And real quick before we go, you hearing that? It's a recording of Bach's two-part invention by a band called 8-Bit Weapon. They record originals and covers on classic computers. This one, two-part invention by Johann Sebastian Bach, was made with a polyphonic synthesizer assembled from motherboards of Apple II computers and pushed through the computer's 1-bit sound system. Oh, the lengths to which nerds will go. We posted a story about this on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.